Welcome to Ask for Football's Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. As for Football's Army Football Show is brought to you by Uniform Flag. Order yours today with 100% of the proceeds going to the Lead the Way Fund.
Usually I joke about needing blood pressure medication because, you know, the cardiac cadets are in full swing. That was not the case last Saturday. You know, almost got ready to take a second half nap, and will probably not be the case this Saturday considering how absolutely terrible UMass is. Don't want to jinx us, but pretty confident going into this matchup. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Army Football Show brought to you by As for Football. It's your host Jordan in Atlanta, joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut, James in Oklahoma City, and we are brought to you by Uniform Flag. And Uniform Flag offers hand-dyed American flags made from donated U.S. military uniforms. They're 11 by 14 inches. You can carry true American spirit into your home or business. Every flag is dyed, sewed, framed, and shipped by their small, mighty team of veterans in Columbus, Ohio. Really cool thing is they donate 100% of their profits to help support veterans in need via the Ranger Lead the Way Fund. And they use dyed-hard technology that ensures that the colors in the flag won't run. So if you have uniforms from your time in the Army, from prep school, from West Point, wherever, and you want to get them out of your house and turn them into something cool that you can cherish for generations, check out Uniform Flag. Link is on our website. They will handle everything. You know, you pretty much just decide what type of flag you want, and then you'll send in your uniform. They'll give you a prepaid shipping label, and then you decide what part of your uniform you want to use, and you go from there. Really easy, really simple. Make sure to check them out. They support the show, so please support them. Gentlemen, 63-10. What more can you say? Dan, you were there. What was it like?
It was awesome. You know, the pregame was beautiful. You know, skies were just beautiful. It was warm out there. Went to my buddy's tailgate, saw a bunch of people that I know, which is crazy because none of that was planned. And we just sat there shooting the breeze for about an hour or so, drinking some beers, eating some food, and then walked up to the stadium. I felt really blessed, honestly, to catch the first half of the game and have the rain hold off. But around halftime, as maybe 5 minutes to go till halftime, they start making these announcements like, attention, there is a very severe thunderstorm inbound. Like, essentially, you got 30 minutes to get to your car. You're going to be sorry. So, it was cool. It was good. The first half was awesome, and I caught the second half on the radio. So, yeah, I liked it.
All right. James, what were your thoughts?
Any game that ends 63-10 with Army on top is a good one. I was lucky enough to watch it in my heated house in Oklahoma, and I had much more fun than Dan did schlepping it through the rain on the way back to his car. But hey, 63-10 is 63-10.
Yeah. So two things that you just said: one, schlepping, say you're from the Northeast without saying you're from the Northeast, and two, Oscar the Grouch, are you finally happy about an Army performance?
I've been happy about, let's see, six Army performances this year. So this is the number six for me.
All right. And that magical number six means that Army is officially bowl eligible, along with a handful of other, well, not a handful, quite a few other teams in addition to Air Force. Navy is still sitting at 2-7 and needs a miracle to get to a bowl. But, you know, really sad. Couldn't have happened to a better team. like we've been talking about, Army beat Bucknell 63-10 in a game that was probably not even as close as the score indicates. We were up 42-0 at the half, and we really got fortunate. We were working off short fields and turnovers. End of the second quarter, we started putting our backups in. It was that dominant of a performance. Dan mentioned the lightning delay. There was a 1 hour lightning delay. There was a hailstorm. It was crazy. Yeah, it was weird to watch on TV because it went from like a beautiful sunny West Point day to like literally they shot back from halftime. I don't remember what game I was watching during halftime, but you know, shot back and all of a sudden it's black and overcast and there's stuff falling from the sky. So anyway, hour delay, the majority of the fans left. Some people stayed. But after that, all the team's reserves got playing time. By the end of the game, Army had played 6 different quarterbacks, 18 different players had run the ball, 9 different players scored touchdowns, 3 players caught passes, including Isaiah Alston, who now has a catch in each of the last 5 games. Jabari Laws threw a touchdown pass. Army has now thrown for a touchdown in 3 straight games and in 5 games overall this season. 29 players made at least 1 tackle. Andre Carter got another sack and another interception. And Tyrell Robinson, T-Rob, the man with wheels, returned 3 punts for a total of 85 yards, including a long of 55. His attempts to break a punt return for a touchdown were arguably the most interesting storyline of the first half. He was so close. And that is something that we have been following for the last 2 years, and something that Coach Monken said at the end of last season is, you know, we need to get that guy the ball in space more. And they've done a great job of that this season. The dude is just so fast. He looks so fast on television. Doesn't look like anyone can touch him. And as soon as he gets in the open field, he's gone. I thought he was going to break that 55 yarder for a touchdown.
So did he.
Yeah, he was upset when he got strung up. Dan, offensively, very dominant performance. Can you break it down for us?
Yeah. Army rushed for 428 yards, 7.0 yards per carry. As we said, Jabari Laws went 100% passing, 3 of 3 for 58 yards and a touchdown. Fullback Tyson Riley led the team in rushing with 10 carries for 70 yards and a touchdown. Really good to see Riley back in the lineup. Haven't seen him much since the beginning of the year. Quarterback Cade Bauer directed 2 8-minute scoring drives, ran for 40 yards on 7 carries. Cade looked good, man. I think he might be the number 4 quarterback right now. Quarterback Jamel Jones led 1 short scoring drive. Honestly, the only guy who didn't get a lot of playing time, unfortunately, was quarterback Maurice Bellon. Kind of saw the writing on the wall when Ballard's 2 drives went a collective almost 17 minutes. And so they put Bellon in to return a punt. Army just ran out of time to get that last quarterback in there, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. And you guys know I've been on the Ballard bus since day 1. So it was really good to see him come out and do his. He looked good. He looked good running the ball, looked good throwing the ball, looked good running the option. Not saying he's Christian Anderson level yet, but it's good to see him get some reps. And hopefully we're going to see that again this week against UMass.
James, well, excuse me one second. It sets up a pretty interesting dynamic as we head into next season. And obviously this is a long way ahead of us. But, you know, I think this rotation with Tyre Tyler and somebody who's better throwing the ball is, you know, is it going to be Ballard or – Jamel Jones that comes in there as kind of quarterback 1A, you know, that competition is alive.
And not only is that competition alive, but you have, for next year, 3 starting quarterbacks or 3 quarterbacks that you can go to, and each of them has their own strength, right? Like T2 is your space guy. If you are setting up a drive early in the game and you're hoping someone breaks for a big run, you're putting T2 in. If you're on a drive where, hey, we might try to get those DBs up and pop one for 45 yards. Okay, Jabari Laws, you're in. If this is a rough drive, you know, maybe right before the half, it's a short field or end of the game, you really got to put points on the board and you just want to grind out a long drive, I'm putting in Cade Ballard, the bruiser, who's going to pick up those 4 yards and essentially be an extra fullback option in that triple option offense. So you got 3 guys and each of them is really, really good at one really important part of the offense.
Well, let's recall Laws is a firstie, so he's not coming back. He's going to graduate.
Correct.
So, yeah, so it's Ballard versus Jones. And I think Jones was ahead early in the season, and Ballard has kind of passed him. That's what I think I saw. Obviously, you know, we'll see how it goes in the offseason. But anyway, I'll shut up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, either way, you know, we talked about the quarterback battle that happened this year and how intense that was going to be. And to both of your points, I think it's going to be even more intense next year. And it really is going to come down to what type of team Army's going to be, because in previous years, Army had been, you know, the power option, run the fullback up the middle every single play. Doesn't matter if we get 1 yard, we're going to run the fullback, dive 4 plays in a row and see what happens. And now it's like, okay, well, why don't we throw the ball a little bit? And now we've seen back-to-back weeks where we have over 100 yards passing and we're moving the ball effectively through the air. And it really kind of opens up another dimension to our offense. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what approach the coaches take next year and frankly, what they're going to do the rest of the season. That is a conversation for an off-season podcast, though. James, defense.
Yeah, so really great performance from the Black Knight defense at home. The Bison offense just totally overmatched. As we expected, our Army's defense, especially in the first half, did really well. The only points that they gave up were basically on special teams snafus and some bad penalties. So they held Bucknell to 39 yards on the ground in 20 attempts. That's less than 2 yards an attempt. 4 for 12 on third down and 0 for 1 on fourth down. We didn't know who the starting quarterback was going to be coming into this game. It ended up being Ethan Grady, who played pretty much the entire game. He finished 16 for 31, so about 50%, and at 136 yards, one interception and then 2 sacks, and then almost that third sack with Jabari Moore coming off the edge that they call a forward pass.
Garbage. Terrible call.
I, as a fan of an option football team, I don't get too in depth with, you know, forward pass calls as much because we just don't see it. But I've been told it was a garbage call by a lot of people. I don't care. We won 63-10. His receivers, being Ethan Grady's receivers, made some really good looking catches. That's about all we can say. They did have a really good game plan. I will say that they had the game plan that, you know, if they were going to be competitive against Army, that was the play calling they needed. Short passes to the perimeter, picking up little chunk 7 to 10 yard gains. And that's what they did. And their quarterback overthrew a few receivers. But they had the game plan they needed to have. They just didn't execute well. And Army's defense, don't count them out. They made some good plays as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, defensively, would have loved to see us pick a shutout, but you know, we put some backups in there. And it's important to get those guys reps and keep people healthy. Special teams, we were 9 for 9 on extra points. Punt return game looked great. We did have one muff kickoff by a plebe slot back that led to a touchdown. It was really the only bad mistake of the entire game. And, you know, it's a plebe. He's a backup for a reason. That kind of pissed me off just watching that. And just the skill disparity, but also just the lack of kind of awareness in football IQ. But that comes over time. And Coach Munkin made sure to let him know that what he did was not the approved solution. What can we take away from this week's action? You know, on paper, Army, absolutely dominant performance. We kind of talked ahead forecasting what, you know, we might see at quarterback rest of the season, might see next year. Dan, walking away from this, what's kind of your one thing that Army left with?
I mean, I thought it was great that the starters came out and took this game seriously. You know, there wasn't a letdown coming in off the big the win against Air Force. They came out ready to play hard, and it showed, you know, not just defending against the Bison, but really forcing the issue, forcing those turnovers, you know, getting punt returns. Like, it would be one thing if the starters were just sort of going through the motions, doing long drives and still scoring. But these guys were, like, super aggressive, forcing the short field, you know. They did everything you could possibly do. And then the other thing was, we saw a pretty significant drop off with the backups against UConn. This week, that did not happen. This week, those guys played very well. You know, the reserve offense played extremely well. The reserve defense really did very well against the run. You know, they just had a couple of penalties and a couple of little issues, but they, you know, they played well. I was happy all the way through.
Yeah. James.
Yeah. The biggest takeaway from this game for me was whether or not Christian Anderson was seriously hurt. Came off in a play, you know, we always talk about how the Army coaches like to have their starters play a full half or at least more than they did this game. And they just kept Anderson out there for one drive too many. And obviously you don't want to see in a game like this, our starting quarterback go down and come out of the game. So big question mark there. I mean, it's been a revolving door all year with the quarterback carousel, but you never want to see your starting quarterback go down like that. I'm a full supporter of just starting Cade Ballard next week. Give the starters a week off, at least the starting quarterbacks. If you need to bring him in, bring him in. You're playing UMass. Just put Cade in and let him run, see how he does. Obviously a positive note this week. And then the last thing that we didn't mention is Malcolm Morrison with those two amazing hits. Real playmaker on defense that we hadn't really heard his name until this week. So, you know, good for him. Obviously a big performance. Probably his best so far, and good for the defenders.
Yeah, absolutely, and I agree with you about starting Cade or even Laws next week. CA is fantastic at quarterback, but he's just so injury prone, and Liberty is going to be a tough matchup, and then we have Army Navy. So, to me, I just don't think that it's worth risking him getting injured. Now, maybe you put him in for one drive to start the game and then he's done, just, you know, to keep him fresh. I don't know. But I absolutely agree that, you know, we have so much depth at the quarterback room and we've been hearing about it all year and we've kind of seen a little bit of it. Like, let's utilize that to its full potential and, you know, run some different things against UMass.
Yeah. I was saying, and one of the things about not being in a conference, right? We're not fighting for a division championship right now. Sure. We have our bowl eligibility. The biggest thing that we can do this year is beat Navy. I would rather lose these next two games. And I know that I don't want to lose these next two games, but I would rather lose these next two games and have a healthy Christian Anderson beat Navy, you know, soundly than compete in these next two games and then feel like Army Navy is going to be a toss up because we're on quarterback number three.
Exactly. UMass, we're going to blow them out. Liberty, I don't give a crap. Like, I literally do not care about them. They're not relevant to me. Navy matters so much more. So if we're 7-4 going into Navy and we have healthy people, I'll take that any day.
Absolutely.
So moving on to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Good, all three phases were terrific. It's great to see Army working the passing game a little bit just to maintain some trends. Isaiah Alston as the go-to target on the outside is both great for the passing game and a useful trend down the stretch of the season. Teams really have to cover Alston and then also jam the line to stop the dive. So, you know, the purpose of the triple option is to give the offense and the quarterback three options, essentially. If we can run the triple option but also have a passing threat, it becomes the quadruple option. It just, you know, it increases the probability that we're going to move the ball effectively because those safeties then have to back off the line. They have to cover the wide receivers, which means are the dive and the inside runs more effective. And then that, you know, if they don't do that, then okay, we'll throw the ball for 80 yards and score a touchdown. Like, I'm a big fan of it. I think it's great. Coastal Carolina did this really, really well last season and Army's starting to do a little bit more of it. And I think it's really going to help us in the long run. Team came out, played hard, even after the lightning delay, kept everyone healthy, with the exception of Anderson's foot. Everything you could have asked for. And officiating and broadcasting quality were so much better this game, in my opinion. No phantom ridiculous penalties, no blatant egregious stuff that we've seen, you know, from Western Kentucky and stuff like that. So that was nice to see. And it was also nice to be at home where we have they would probably say they're biased towards Army, but a neutral broadcasting crew who doesn't want to just talk about how amazing Air Force is the whole game.
I got it. So one thing I want to say while we're talking about Isaiah Alston and just the evolution of the offense is they've started running that jet sweep motion a lot out of the shotgun, which I can't remember seeing before the Air Force game. What an amazingly effective play that is for this offense, because, you know, you've essentially got a typical read option offense out of a spread set with the quarterback in the shotgun. You know, he can keep it. He can hand it off for the jet sweep. He can throw it for the touchdown like he did against Air Force. Like, they've still got slot backs they can pitch to. Man, I love that. They can't do that enough. What a great play.
Great.
Yeah, and one more thing with Isaiah Alston, not to beat a dead horse, but one thing that defenses try to do when they're defending the option is they try to spot players to an extent. You can't do it too much because assignments are assignments. But if you have Tyrell Robinson, you're not going to put your third rate, you know, DB spying Tyrell Robinson. So you're going to put your best guy there. But if all of a sudden your best guy is now covering Tyrell Robinson, he can't cover Robinson on a pitch and a downfield like he could last year, because now you have Isaiah Alston. So when you have a serious threat out on as a slot, you know, as a wide receiver, all of a sudden now there's another person that you really have to spy. And it takes away this sort of, well, Robinson could do a couple of things on this play, but as long as we have one guy spying him, we should be able to neutralize him, to, well, we have to have one guy on Robinson. We also have to have a guy on Alston. And it's really, really hard for defenses to spy an extra player like that.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if Brent Davis is playing, you know, checkers while everybody's playing chess. Because if this season we throw the ball effectively, next season, are we going to still continue to go to the ball, throw the ball as much, go to the air? Or are we going to go back to the old Army offense? Like, it's just going to be a cycle of, you know, showing people, hey, we can throw, so the defense changes, and then we just run our normal offense. I don't know. I don't know if that's... you know, I'm reading into that too much. Either way, throwing the ball is great for Army football. Dan, you were at the game. What's the bad from this week?
Yeah, I'll just take the bad and the ugly. Traffic getting on post on game day continues to be a legitimate challenge. We got there about 9:30 thinking that there wasn't going to be that many people in the stands. Actually, there were a lot. I mean, a lot more people than I expected. It was still, it was, you know, we were in traffic 20 minutes trying to get through Thayer Gate. I honestly, I have no idea what the answer is. It's not my problem to solve for better or worse, but they really have got to do something because it was tough. I mean, it wasn't like we got there late. We just didn't get there as early as normal. And then finally, the ugly, you know, the lightning delay just sucked. Driving home through the hailstorm, that also sucked. I don't blame CBS Sports for cutting away from an FCS game where one team is up by 50 points. But, you know, obviously people were complaining about that. At a minimum, I have to say, though, like as we said earlier, the stadium staff did a good job keeping us informed in the stands, like what was going on. You know, they kept giving us 30-minute warning, 20-minute warning. But when they gave us the 20-minute warning, I was like, we got to get the hell out of here right now. We're going to be sorry. So, yeah, everybody pretty much unasked at that point.
Yeah. You know, we had Mike Buddy on the show earlier, and he talked about how they're trying to solve the parking crisis. To, you know, quote the mainstream media, everything's a crisis. But you know, this has been going on for 10, 20 years. So it's not a new problem, but hopefully they can find a solution soon. Going to go ahead and review the fact or fiction from last week. Dan, you said Army runs for 500 yards and 10 touchdowns. That was fiction. 9 touchdowns and 400 something yards. Andre Carter will retake the NCAA sack lead after this game was said by Rob. That was fiction. And then James said Army wins by 40, and that was fact agreement, and that was also a fact. So overall, great performance. I know some people are upset we didn't hit that 500 number or 10 touchdowns, but
what a stupid thing to be upset about.
We could have dropped 90 if we kept the starters in, but then we could have had people get hurt. So some people will never be happy, and if you're one of those people, I feel sorry for you. So,
well, they wanted Kate Bauer to run the base offense. They didn't want him to go in there and throw all over the place. I mean, he ran two 16-minute drives. That's not a problem, but it did keep the score from getting up over 63 points.
Who cares?
Exactly.
There's no benefit in blowing out an FCS team. Oh, he scored 80 on an FCS team. Great, good for you. Like, I would rather our guys get, you know, good experience and exposure than score an extra two touchdowns against an FCS team in a game that literally...
Yeah, exactly.
So, whatever. Dan, why don't you give us some commercials?
Yeah, love it, man. All right. So as you know, if you've been listening to this show, we have a new sponsor, Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for Draper and Kramer, which is a mortgage company. Craig is a class of 1994 graduate. He is one of the biggest VA lenders in the entire country, licensed to lend mortgages in all 50 states, although he is based out of Chicago. Craig has super competitive rates. Guys, he is going to give you the best deal that he possibly can. So why is this important? Because getting a mortgage is super confusing, you know, and honestly, you want to deal with somebody who cares about you, who is an actual person, you know, not a call center, not a freaking app on your phone, not some random box, big box bank or mindless website. You know, this is how the West Point Network actually functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Astro Football, and we are helping you get the best deal that you possibly can get through a guy who is a member of the West Point Network, Craig Oxane. So we're going to introduce you to the very man you need to meet. Plus, this is amazing. Craig does not charge lender's fees for veterans. It's a huge savings. It's like $1,300. $1,300. Guys, ladies, everyone, get that money. So, you know, check it out. Craig's got links on our website, or you can just Google him. But by far, the easiest way is to go to astrofootball.com and find one of his little ads there and just click it. And then that will take you to his page. And you can apply for a website. You talk to Craig. It's easy. It couldn't be easier, honestly. And let me tell you, if you've never bought a house before, they hand you 2 inches of paperwork that you're going to have to sign and deal with. And it helps so much to have someone you trust doing like the most complicated piece of this. So anyway, enough said. Other commercial here is for our mailing list. Do you like Army football but hate social media? Or more importantly, does your dad like Army football but hate social media? Subscribe your non-social media having dad to our mailing list. Go to askforfootball.com/subscribe and enter his information or yours or whomever's. We send out exactly one email every week with links to that week's content. It's too easy. I mean, great. We want you to follow us on social media and interact with us, but understand that social media is like the bane of modern existence. If you just don't want to do it, like, we totally understand. Half the time we don't even want to do it. So that's why we have a mailing list. We're trying to help us help you. The end. Go ahead.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Moving on to this week's contest, UMass. The UMass Minutemen are better than Bucknell in the sense that they're another FBS program with a win over another FBS program, which is UConn, and they have at least one really good player. However, this team is 1-8, having dropped two straight games to FCS opponents, including a loss to Rhode Island on homecoming week that got their head coach fired. FCS University of Maine didn't even know that was a thing, beat them 35-10 last weekend. Has this team kind of packed it out for the season? Like, are they done and, you know, looking towards Christmas break? I don't know. Dan, they have one good player. He's on offense. Is he worth, I guess, noting?
He's certainly worth noting. I mean, you know, let's be honest. If you're having a good season for the UMass Minutemen right now, that's quite an accomplishment. I personally would consider the transfer portal, but nevertheless, running back Ellis Merriweather has quietly had a very good season, including a would-be breakout performance against Liberty, granted in a badly losing effort. Merriweather has 178 carries for 860 yards. That's an average of 4.8 yards per carry, which is excellent. Only got three TDs. Guy's just not getting any help. On three quarters of the teams in college football, this guy would be a major star right now. He plays for UMass, and he's like stuck. But imagine running behind the UMass offensive line and carrying for almost 5 yards per carry. Telling you, this dude is legit. Also worth noting is quarterback Brady Olsen, 104 of 215 passing for 1,145 yards. That is 48.4% accuracy, which is not good. Eight touchdowns versus seven interceptions and eight sacks.
Oof.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I mean, this, if honestly, when you read that, understand that this is what this guy Merriweather is working with. Is this quarterback is not accurate. So the only real threat is this running back, and he's still running for almost 5 yards per carry. Finally, wide receiver Rico Arnold leads the team with 25 catches for 384 yards and two touchdowns. You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. I think biggest thing to beat their offense is going to be beating them at the line of scrimmage. You know, Noah Cockrell should have the game of his life. And then Andre Carter should regain that national sack leadership. Rob is not here, so James, you're going to do the defense.
You got it. So two leading tacklers are linebackers. Usually that means they're decent against the run. This is not a usual team. They are 123rd in FBS versus the run. That's out of 130 teams. They give up over 220 yards per game and nearly 6 yards per carry. And that's mounted for 35 rushing touchdowns. So hopefully, as we said, Christian Anderson will not be out there for very long. They're also allowing 253 yards per game passing. And that's pretty much because everyone they've played in FBS got out to a big lead and then just started running so that they didn't have to be there for as long. And 253 is actually pretty good for the skill of this defense. But I guess the point is the DBs are at a level where Army should be able to pass a few times if Brent Davis opts to. This is a team with just two interceptions and eight sacks all year. I do believe they are a minus one on turnover ratio, which is very surprising. I think they've just gotten lucky, but not very dangerous for Army to pass.
Yeah, well, let's not jinx it. You know, tongue-in-cheek to all of us there. But kicker Cameron Carson is 7-10 field goals. He's been better from longer ranges, perfect from 40 out. Final score predictions. Dan?
63-10.
Okay. James?
Can we do Price is Right rules?
Sure.
All right, 64-11. Yeah.
Okay. I'll go ahead and say 13 for UMass and 49 for Army. So 49.
There's no way this team scores 13 points. Their receivers are not even as good as Bucknell's.
Yikes. You know, welcome to Ask for Football, where we are brutally honest. So the line opened at Army minus 30. I think it was at 35 or 30 something, and now it's at 37.5. Over-under's at 56. Game will be cold. I said cold in the outline because I'm from the South and I was in New York last week and it was like 50 and I was cold, but low of 29, high of 45, partly cloudy skies, also a chance that it's going to be sunny. You will want to dress warmly. There's not supposed to be any rain, snow, sleet, or hail, but you never know. Dan takes on the game.
I think UMass would beat Bucknell by 20 points at least, but they don't match up as well against this particular Army team. Bucknell, as we said before, at least had some wide receivers who could, you know, go out and catch the ball and make some plays. UMass is coming in with their whole offense essentially depending on one running back, and I'm telling you, that's just not going to work out for them. It's not going to work out for them against the starting defense. It's not going to work out for them against the backup defense. This whole defense is keyed towards stopping the run, and that's just not going to occur. Also, with this rushing defense, I feel comfortable taking the over in this game. I mean, Army's just going to run at these guys. We'll talk about this in a minute, but do we attempt a pass? I kind of think we don't.
Interesting. James?
They'll probably throw one pass to Isaiah Olsen just to extend the streak.
Sure. James?
Yeah, I think they'll throw a few times. I pretty much agree with what Dan said. It's hopefully just going to be a repeat of last week with fewer injuries, especially to our starting quarterback, would be nice. But yeah, I think especially if they give Jabari Laws significant time, we could see a few passes. But other than that, just sprints and repeat.
Yeah, I think you guys are probably right. You know, obviously don't want to be overconfident heading into this game. I remember when we previewed the Citadel and we talked about how we're going to blow them out, and then it was a dogfight. So, you know, that being said, these guys just don't have the talent and they're demoralized, and pretty much everybody in college football has taken them behind the woodshed. So would love to get up 35-0 in the first half and then kind of coast the rest of the game, and would love to see Cade Ballard start at quarterback and just run. So we'll see what they end up doing, and we'll see if they actually throw a pass. But I think whether or not we decide to throw a pass is irrelevant, because I think the offense is going to run just fine on the ground. So moving on to fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Dan, you're up.
Yes, my fact or fiction is, we just talked about this, Army attempts zero passes. So, James.
I am going to say fiction. I don't think Brent can help himself.
Okay. Jordan?
I'm going to say fiction as well.
Yeah, it's like two tough things. On the one hand, I think Jeff Munkin would very much like to have one of these games where they don't attempt zero pass, where they attempt zero passes and they win handily. Like, he likes that. That's a flex. On the other hand, you know, you've got a receiver with a 5-game catching streak heading into Army Navy, and you'd really like for the Navy defense to pay attention to that receiver. So I think they have to throw to him. So I say fiction.
Yeah. James?
I'm going to keep mine the same as last week's. Army wins by 40. Dan?
Oh, for sure. Fact.
Okay. Jordan?
Fact.
All right. We got a fact agreement.
I'm going to go ahead and say Army has over 400 yards of total offense. Dan?
Oh, fact. For sure. Absolutely.
James?
They're going to run all over these guys.
Yeah, I'm going fact, too. There's just no way.
So the only situation that I can see is either that we totally take our foot off the gas pedal, or we get so many short fields due to turnovers and bad punting that it's just a numbers game. It doesn't work out in our favor. But I'm going to go ahead and say fact as well.
See, I think that's the biggest difference is between this game and last game is against Bucknell. Like, Bucknell was struggling to even just hold the ball and run offense against the Army defense. I think UMass is going to have an offense. Like, they'll be able to function. It's not just going to be turnover, you know, punt return for a touchdown. I just think they're getting it worked. You see what I'm saying? So I it could actually wind up with more yards of offense in that way.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, this is a UMass team that scored 10 points against Maine last week, so my hopes are not super high for their offense.
Yeah, fair.
All right, closing thing. Dan, do you have anything?
Yeah, just that it's going to be another big reunion weekend for the Class of 95 up there, last one of the season.
Y'all just party all the time. Seriously.
We're very close. We're a very close class. We always have been. And, yeah, you know, I got a bunch of friends up there and a bunch more coming in, and I'm close to my classmates. I really am.
Yeah, very cool. You know, my class got scrambled three times, so we're a little less close. But that's life. So, hey, thanks for listening to the As for Football Army Football Show. We appreciate if you like, subscribe, comment on the show. Also, follow us on social media. Join our Patreon. If you join the Patreon, you'll get access to exclusive content as well as stuff like the show, you know, a couple of days early. We have the Firsty Club on Facebook, which lets you interact with us during the game. We kind of have a live stream, not like a live stream, but what's the word I'm looking for here? We have like a thread that goes on throughout the game where everybody kind of comments and puts in their thoughts. And it's a lot of fun. If you love Army football and you want to be around people who love Army football, join the Firsty Club via Patreon. And with that, go Army, beat UMass.
Beat them.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to Ask for Football Army Football Show. Tune in next week as the Ask for Football team provides you more hot takes and insights to the Army football season. And as always, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Uniform Flag. Get a great conversation piece for your home or office. A handmade American flag made by veterans from actual U.S. military uniforms. These custom flags will add mystique to anywhere that you choose to display them, with all the proceeds going to the Lead the Way Fund. Sign up for our mailing list and get the latest info at askforfootball.com. Stay tuned for new episodes coming to a podcast platform near you.